Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to Post Show Recaps Theater. My name is Grace. I'm here with my co-host Ariel. Ariel, how you doing?
I am okay. That's how, you know, that's yeah. Kind of how I feel after this.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about She Said, a movie that totally bombed at the box office. Ariel, did you see this? Made no money.
I did hear this, and, You know, we talked a little bit about Bros. Like, the movie that came immediately to my mind when I saw this headline that you just mentioned is, yeah. Oh yeah, Bros bomb too. Obviously for different reasons. Yeah. I feel like this one, is it like people, and most importantly, I think the distinction is it bombed, but it was critically somewhat acclaimed.
Yes.
People were like from the rafters, like screaming, this is the best movie ever made. But people for the most part had like positive reactions to it, especially critics. Is this just an instance of like, I don't want a movie about that.
Okay, so I think a lot of people were saying that. I saw that a lot, like even in our little corner of the world, Discord, where it's a safe haven for when Twitter explodes. People were like, I don't know that I want to watch a movie about this. And also, like, why'd they make a movie about Harvey Weinstein? And I think that, like, for me, the big problem as to why this movie made $2.8 million on a $32 million budget is that it was not advertised at all. I look at like the calendar to see what's coming out, and it's like big names. And I think, you know, there's some people that I really like in terms of their movie critiques. I'm like, I'm really excited. Like, I'd seen it and I really like it. And so we put it on our calendar, but there's no advertising of the movie. I don't think I saw a single, did I see a trailer? I think I saw a couple trailers. I didn't really see any like billboards or anything like that. And so part of the problem is that I think people, like, it didn't get advertised, and it's like, hey, there's a Harvey Weinstein movie out, but it's not a Harvey Weinstein movie. I think like to give the spoiler-free like recap for people, it's really about the two journalists, Megan Toohey and Jody Cantor, who write the article, the first Harvey Weinstein article. I guess I don't know whether it actually came out before Ronan Farrow's piece. That's a plot point in the movie. But also, it's very intentional. It's also about the women who choose who speak to these two journalists. It's very much like not about Harvey Weinstein. I mean, it is and it isn't. Like, he's not. He's in the movie. He's on the movie. I don't know how to like do this without spoiling it, but it's the movie is not centered on Harvey Weinstein. It's not like, why did Harvey Weinstein do these things? You basically start the movie with like, Harvey Weinstein did really bad things, and we're going to like write an article and let people know that he did these bad things.
Yeah. And I think your point about it's centering on like what it centers on is really important, because like you said, it centers on the reporter specifically, and most importantly, the survivors and their voices, right? The voices, literally a lot of scenes of like, this is a somewhat famous actress or a somewhat well-known actress, in some cases an actual real life person playing a version of themselves, which is wild.
That's Ashley Judd, right? Ashley Judd plays herself, and then the other, anybody else who's in the movie who's like famous is being played like they're only voice acted, right? Rose McGowan and Gwyneth Paltrow or somebody
It seemed like for the most part nobody else, even when you heard them on the phone, was actually the person. Sometimes to comedic effect, like, to be clear, this movie is like not a comedy. There are very few actual comedic moments, but just some of the voice actors that they hired of like, that's Rose McGowan. I was like, it's really not.
Yeah, the Gwyneth, the fake Gwyneth. Gwyneth. I don't know. But it's also like a harrowing scene. So you're like, you know.
I'm trying not to let my brain go there, but unfortunately my brain inevitably does go there.
It is weird that Ashley Judd like clearly said yes to the movie, and then none of the other like famous women said yes to the movie. And they obviously did this thing with Harvey where it's the same thing where like you see him sometimes, but never his face. And then you hear him on the telephone.
Right.
And so, it is this weird dynamic where like one of them did do it. And it does take you a little bit out of the movie, but I don't know. I feel like it's a weird one where we're kind of in spoiler territory, but also because it's a true story that didn't happen that long ago. Like, is this the most recent like story that we've covered on Push Your Kips Theater, like of a movie that's being made about a thing that happened?
A thing that actually happened. I'm trying to think of what the last one even would have been, but certainly the most recent example. And to your point, it's like hard to spoil something that already happened, but of course we want to be sensitive to that. But to your point, going back for just a second, to your point about the advertising, they went with like this, whatever, this is movie talk, this is an advertising talk, but a little bit into like the like you said, I barely saw any trailers for it. And then I did very much closer to, and I saw more like web page takeovers, like an IMDb, that kind of thing.
Yes.
And it has a big name. It certainly has, now her name escapes me, but she's...
Carey Mulligan and Zoe Kazan is in this movie.
Carey Mulligan, the biggest name, playing one of the...
Patricia Clarkson is pretty underused, I think. Andre Brower is in this movie. Yeah.
I mean, it's very much from their perspective. It's written by a woman. It's directed by a woman, and it's obviously called She Said. I thought of before I saw it. You had already seen it, and we spoke very briefly about it. And the movie that came to my mind as far as thinking about, okay, like what was the last movie I saw that I can remember that was like a quote unquote reporter story? And by that, I mean like reporters who in real life broke a story, you know, Woodward and Bernstein. And I was like, oh, Spotlight. Like Spotlight was a really big movie. It was a really big deal. It was like Oscar buzzy. I know it was nominated for a whole bunch of things. I'm having trouble now remembering what it actually won, but
I think it won screenplay maybe.
So this movie, it won something. Yeah. This movie is for better and for worse being measured.
Oh, is it won Best Picture? Did it win Best Picture? Gosh. Did it?
I mean,
wow, it did. Apparently,
very much being compared to those movies just in my head, and I think the thing that pops out to me is like how male centric those movies are, and I think it's very intentional for a lot of reasons why this movie is so female centric, in its point of view and in like the cast and the crew and all that. So, you know, I think it's almost like unfair in a way to like measure it against those movies. But ultimately, a movie, regardless of if it's based on a true story or not, has to be, it can only be measured and graded in the context in which it comes out. Right. And like,
yeah,
this, in this case being, you know, this like true story, this reporter story, I enjoyed it. I think I didn't like it as much as, like a Spotlight. I think there were things about it that were like very, matter of fact. And I think they were trying to be very sensitive about a lot of these things. And I did get emotional. Like there were a lot of things in this movie that I enjoyed, but I think it, I guess the ultimate way I can put it, like it wasn't as good as I wanted it to be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I also gave you the expectations of like, it's good. It's pretty good. So I feel,
yeah, I mean, you didn't oversell it in your defense. Right. I don't right. think so.
Before we go further, I just want to remind folks at pushrecaps.com/movies to subscribe to our feed, which we chat about. There's a lot of movies coming out. It's a really busy fall/winter. So make sure you subscribe so that you can have them in the feed. Maybe you watch the movie way later when it comes out on streaming, but you can look back in the feed and we've probably covered it if it's a big movie. So make sure you do that. And then very quickly, I just want to, as we're going to start to talk about things, obviously this is a movie about Harvey Weinstein and him sexually assaulting women. So I'm just going to give that content warning as we continue to discuss this movie that I think the movie does a pretty good job of like not fully, well, yeah, you know, it does talk about what he does. And yeah, so we're talking about sexual assault. Yeah, I really liked it. I watched this and The Menu back to back, and I actually think I liked this a little bit more than The Menu, but this is sort of like also, there's pieces of this that are like so my type of movie, which is like it is like a slow, you know, just like an, you know, I love journalism movies and it's a slow, like, absolutely, you know, they're trying to do it. I also think like it's very it is interesting that it's such a recent event that has happened, and so we obviously know the outcome, but what I thought the movie did so incredibly well was, you know, put shining the light on these women who ultimately choose, and how friggin' hard it is to actually say that is. I hope that that's not new information for people, that, you know, all of these reasons why people accuse women of like lying about things in the Me Too movement is like, oh, well, you know, they didn't report anything, didn't say anything. It's very interesting that the journalists, like especially Jody Cantor, like very much on the phone, I can't remember who she's talking to, but is like, did you tell anybody? Did you report it to the police? Like asking these questions, like with no sort of like, it doesn't feel leading, like in a way of like, you know, if you didn't tell anybody, then I don't believe you, but she does just like blatantly ask. And so I just thought, you know, it was, I don't know. I just thought it was like, especially, I almost wish the movie was maybe even a little bit more about the women who came forward than it even was about Jodi Cantor and Megan Toohey. Like we get some stuff about like their personal lives of a little bit, like Jodi Cantor has this scene when she's talking to her daughter on the phone while she's traveling, and Megan Toohey, are we already in like full spoil? I feel like this is a very blurred lines episode where we're just going to be spoiling it the whole time, right? Is that what we're doing?
I think to your previous point, people are kind of aware. You'd be hard pressed to find someone who didn't know about this story and the fallout of it, and I think this, if anything, this spoils like how some of that story broke, but other than that, like we all kind of know where this is going.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's really good. I think it's worth watching. I don't, you know, is it a theater movie? I don't know. I don't know if it's like a theater movie. I do feel like this one would have been better served to have like been dropped on streaming on the same day. Mm-hmm. But alas, I think it's worth checking out, in my opinion.
Okay, I think for sure, just very quickly.
Yeah.
I am also a fan of those movies, of like the reporter movies. And I think that's you know, the ones that have cut through that I remember, they're pretty well known. And like I was thinking about Spotlight specifically, and how prominent and impressive the music specifically is in that movie. And this one, I was just looking for like the one or two like bells and whistles that would help it like clear a certain bar. But like the acting is incredible, the and it's like very uncomfortable. And to their credit, maybe that's what they didn't want. They didn't want like a distracting thing or a movie like trope. They just wanted to present this very true story and the lives of these women, both the ones who were reporting it and how it affected them, and the ones who came forward. And I think that's admirable, at least in my opinion.
Yeah. There's like All the President's Men, and I think The Post is like the Tom Hanks, Meryl Streep one. There's also like Frost. These are all like, you know, these like journalism movies that I think this movie falls right in line with it being of like, we unravel the story via the journalists who break the case. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I think it totally works. So worth seeing. So then let me spill the PSRT very quickly, even if people might have already known. Jodi Kantor, played by Zoe Kazan, gets a tip that actress Rose McGowan was sexually assaulted by Harvey Weinstein. She begins investigating despite McGowan declining to comment. Kantor speaks with Ashley Judd and Gwyneth Paltrow, who also describe their encounters with Harvey Weinstein and claim to say they were assaulted, but do not want to be named in an article for fear of repercussions. Megan Toohey, played by Carey Mulligan, joins the investigation, and together they find other women who have been assaulted by Weinstein, mostly women who worked for Miramax, but many have signed NDAs or do not want to be on the record. Despite Weinstein trying to stop the article from being written, they get enough to put together a piece. Before the article goes live, both Ashley Judd and Laura Madden, one of the women who worked for Miramax, agree to go on the record. The Times publishes the story, and after the publication, 82 more women come forward, and Weinstein is eventually charged and is serving a 23-year sentence for rape and sexual assault in New York, with charges pending in other states. That's the basic premise of the movie. So to my point earlier, I like it. I like that like it's like Jodi Kantor and Megan Toohey that were centering them. They actually get to like film at the New York Times office, and it looks great. Patricia Clarkson, it plays like their editor. She's great in it, even if maybe a little bit underused in the movie. Andre Brower is really great as the like head boss who's just being like taking no F's, like every time like I want a boss like this who will come in and like, I'm dealing with the shitty customer, and they'll come in and just be like listen, like meet our demands or else, and just like hangs up the phone. He's so good. But I found the most power, I think the best scenes in the movie are the scenes where specifically when Jodi Kantor is like traveling around. And when she's talking to the women, specifically Laura Madden, when she's talking to her like by the beach. And then this other woman who I'm going to pull up her name, Zelda Perkins, she talks to her in like the coffee shop. And those two scenes are just like the meat of the movie for me, to the point where like, I think that maybe I wanted a little, if I feel like there's a piece missing, it's like, really, how were these women's like lives affected by this thing happening? Because we get that with Jodi Kantor when she's talking to her daughter on the phone and her daughter's like, is it like rape you're looking into? And she's like, how do you know that word? And she has to like hang up the phone, and she starts crying. And like Carey Mulligan is like coming back from a mat leave and is having postpartum depression, and she's struggling with like, you know, she's like, maybe work will be better. And there's some of like their personal life mixed into this story that I think does work. But if I was to like cut something and add something else in, I think I would choose to like, you know, it becomes a little bit like, but it's really hard to investigate the story, which it definitely is. And there's like parts of the movie where like Harvey Weinstein is so very clearly trying to like stop this from happening, and they're being frustrated by being like butting up against the wall. None of the women want to go on record. Like, I think in the movie posters, like, will you go on record? And that's a big piece of this movie, that like, what is their story if they can't name somebody,
are wanting to be named, or yeah.
And so I think that all works, but I wish there was a little bit more about like these women. And part of the thing that's tough is like, yeah, like three of the women that they highlight in this movie, and Rose McGowan, Ashley Judd, and Gwyneth Paltrow, are like legit famous, and only Ashley Judd is willing to be in the movie, or was approached to be in the movie. I don't really know what happened.
Yeah, right. So, we don't know who would have been approached or was approached and who declined and who, you know, that's, but I think the movie does a good job of, like you said, showcasing these very specific women's stories, and how like the ones that you called out, and I have like Samantha Morton sticks out in my head as like the woman in the cafe. I think she plays Zelda.
Right. Yes. Zelda Perkins. Yeah.
And how harrowing that story was.
Fuck. Yeah. That
like,
was
I think
bad.
They really did a good job of like giving the, letting the women have a voice, not just like, okay, this is how the article came about, but like also this is my story. And so it's like the movie is actually amplifying their original just recounting of the story. And then while it is also explaining how the article was written and all the pieces that came together with it, I think that's worthwhile. And I think that's, it feels powerful within the movie. It obviously feels powerful outside of the movie. I just think that I get the sense that maybe there was a little bit of, I mean, I don't want to speculate about like second guessing, I think maybe, you know, it was missing that like extra piece of like what makes it. It's hard to judge this thing just like another piece of entertainment, but like, what's the thing that's going to make it feel a little bit more special, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I think, unfortunately, like, I think like, this movie gets way more attention if it's like a movie about Harvey Weinstein, right? Like if it's like really, really about Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
And I think that,
makes sense.
Yeah. It's so counterintuitive, right? Because like the whole point is like the there's all this, you know, this like idea of like our culture shifting and the things we've focused on and, you know, that the media loves like conflict and hatred and anger. That's like stuff that drives sales, right? Like the old newspaper saying of like, if it bleeds, it leads. Or like, I guess it's like the news, the late night news. Does it exist anymore? Do we have local news? I don't think so.
It definitely exists. Like, facetious, but like, it's a good question.
No, I think it definitely does exist.
If you're looking out for it. Yeah.
Yeah. But yet like, you know, I it's tough because I feel like, yeah, it's like the powerful like story of these women coming forward. And I think you're like, I don't know, it really, really worked for me. So I could see the idea that like something is missing. I just don't know what that is. But like, boy, the scene where Laura Madden decides to go on the record, and probably this is fictionalized, but it happens right before she goes into surgery, is just like, and she's like, she has three daughters. And she's like, I'm not going to let my daughters like live in a world where like, it's okay for men to just do this. I think it's so good. The other part of, I thought that scene was like incredible. Again, anything where it was like the women who were abused by Harvey Weinstein, I thought was like the strongest stuff in the film. Mm-hmm. I thought the like actual, maybe this is where it's missing a little bit, is the actual like journalism, like the, you know, in a typical, there's a little bit in this movie of being like, are you sure you have enough? But also like the New York Times people are portrayed so nice and good, which is, mm-hmm. if that's true, that should absolutely be true. But also like, the conflict really comes from like the fact that like Weinstein's people are like trying to stop this. Mm-hmm. I really love the way that they deal with mostly one of Weinstein's lawyer, that guy from Succession. And also eventually the Miramax CEO. What I really liked about those scenes is that they both show that like, people know this is wrong, right? When he's like, mm-hmm. she's like, well, tell me how many people, like how many? And he's like, I would say 8 to 10. Like he's like totally broken down because she's just looking at him being like, you know, you're complicit in it. If you don't tell me, like, if you don't give me anything, you're just complicit. And he is being so squirmy. And eventually he's like, you know, okay, I would say 8 to 10. And then she needs the Miramax guy to confirm the numbers that can put it in the piece. And he eventually goes like, yeah, fine, yeah. Okay. 8 to 10. Mm-hmm. And what I like about that is that both it shows that like these people know that you're covering up some pretty bad stuff. The paperwork that Zelda shows Jodi Kantor, I think, is like horrific in terms of like the agreements that were put in place. She can't see them. She says, I had
visitation rights to my NDAs. That was insane.
Yeah. And so that's so horrific. These people know what they are covering up, right? That it's not mm-hmm. just like, oops, like we didn't know, you know, it's so bad. And yet at the same time, they also are not being like, yeah, okay, he did it. Like the right thing to do if you're the president of Miramax is to be like, yeah, this is how many settlements we paid, and we're going to get rid of Harvey Weinstein. But because of the stupid capitalistic structure, patriarchy, like BS, mm-hmm. the most they can be like, yeah, you can confirm that it's 8 to 12 settlements. So I kind of like that is in there, because it shows that, like, yeah, the system has been like changed a bit since Me Too, but also like not completely, like not fully, you know?
No. And that's the movie does a good job, I think, of like hammering that point home of like, this isn't like at the beginning, they're dealing a little bit with like the Trump election,
right,
and the accusations that came forward as far as before his election of like women who came forward, and like then it became like, okay, let's really dig deep, like why does this seem to be so prevalent and pervasive and unknowable, right, and untrackable as far as the statistics and some of the stuff that they get into with this one. And then they start to see the system for what it is, right? Like the actual literal systemic problem that makes these things possible to continue. And like you said, it's the people, a lot of men who are in power, who are sometimes just, and I don't mean to minimize it, but who are sometimes just, in capital letters, like protecting the perpetrators and the people who are actually doing it, because they feel sometimes it's money, sometimes it's like, what difference would it even make? But like either way, it's the system continuing to perpetuate itself, and it's very dangerous and sinister. And I think the movie, to its credit, calls that out a lot of like, this isn't just an isolated person, certainly not even under the umbrella of Harvey Weinstein. Wasn't like obviously not a singular event. It happened many, many, many times, unfortunately, over many years. But even beyond him, it is a pervasive problem across many industries, and like probably honestly even still understood or underrepresented, underestimated, I guess I would say. So
yeah, it's still happening a ton, right? And to the point of like you know, that these people will face consequences, like, yes, like there's been a few like really big names, like obviously Cosby and Weinstein both are in prison, but also you have like Louis C.K., who's like, you know, assaulted women and is still like performing at comedy clubs, you know, like it's, there's still a culture of like, yeah, if we could probably make some money, if there's an audience for this guy, even if it's not like, you know, even if it's like the most abhorrent people who like choose to believe him for whatever reason, or yeah, that denied that he did anything, yeah, they'll go watch Louis C.K. perform in a comedy club, you know.
Well, it's comedy, like, yeah, that's we're not gonna get into personal opinions here, but it just seems like the comedy world especially is having trouble dealing with it, recognizing it as a serious thing.
So the whole like Gwyneth Paltrow voice, Rose McGowan voice, Harvey Weinstein, like the back of his head and the voiceover, did it work for you? I found that for sometimes, like, I'm totally with them to choose to go this route, but also it's so hard to not be like taken out of the film for a moment, to be like, oh, yeah, I wonder what actor that's the back of it. Like, he has to play the back of Harvey Weinstein's head, you know?
Yeah. I kept thinking, as soon as I saw him, I kept thinking like, imagine that like audition, like, Can you walk like him? Do you seem like him?
You have a headshot. Like, could you like get the?
Could
back?
You like show me the back? The back? Does it seem Weinstein-esque? And to their credit, like, I guess, you know, the back of someone's head is way easier to make look like someone else than the front of someone's head. I would argue, but this person really looked like Harvey Weinstein from the back. I was like, for a second it did cross my mind, like, oh my god, is that like actual Harvey Weinstein? But obviously it was not. And you know, I already talked a little bit about like the Gwyneth Paltrow and the Rose McGowan and some of those voices. I guess I would have preferred that to just like the one-sided conversation of like just showing, kind of having to build a conversation just from one side of like only showing the lawyers or the reporters' perspectives. The one that gave me the most to think about, though, honestly, was Ashley Judd, because mm-hmm. Ashley Judd, obviously in real life, was heavily involved in the article and was seemingly, and then there's the other thing.
The only two women to put her name on record.
The thing that happens when you're watching a movie like this is like, oh wow, this is like the order of events. I had a little bit jumbled in my head as far as,
yeah,
like, because you know, these things happen so fast. And once years pass, it kind of all jumbles together. But the idea that she in real life did this admirable thing, right?
Yeah.
To put her name, speak on the record, speak to her experience, that has a lot of value and proved to have a lot of value in the real world. But then that she would be in this movie, and to be clear, I was not casting any judgment. It was just like a conversation that I had in my head of like, okay, what is this? What value is it adding to the movie? It's adding a little bit of veracity. It's adding like this real life, maybe not A-list, but like a B plus A-list at some point actress. The A stands for Ashley. You know, it gives it some gravitas, but like, I worry that there were people who would say, because to be clear, I didn't feel this way,
yeah,
of like, oh, she's patting herself on the back now in this like movie version of it. She has to be in it. And it's like, I decided to speak out, right? It's like one of the linchpins in the towards the end of the movie of like, okay, we have Ashley Judd to go on the record. That's a huge deal for the story. And they show her literally running and they show her like exhaling and she's going to decide to do this.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting and, as far as I'm concerned, very unique situation that you don't normally see. Like, yeah, there are people playing themselves, yeah, all the time, but here to be like a survivor of something and then be in the dramatized version of it as yourself. It's, I mean, talk about taking you out. I was like, this is such a fascinating, like philosophical, yeah, like discussion, you know, like, let alone like, does it have, you know, like, what is she getting out of it? I thought it was crazy, honestly.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it didn't, I don't think it took me, I thought it was neat that she's, you know, and again, you're like thinking about just like asking you're like having this conversation, with yourself, not saying it's like, it is a bad thing that she's in the movie. I, the one thing I do like about the choice is that she does get to sort of speak to it. I know she was like in the article,
yeah,
she could do it, but like in the movie about the thing, she does get to like, I think it is,
yeah,
that she gets to play herself, and you know, that thing where she's saying in the conversation with Jodi Kantor is like, I just want to work, you know, like, yes, like, it was worth it and I'll do it again, but also what BS that I like can't get a job, you know.
And like, look at her getting this job. Like,
yeah, I know. I also,
does she have to audition, you think? Sorry.
Yeah. Can you send him a headshot? presumably they also asked Gwyneth Paltrow and Rose McGowan to be in this movie. And do you think that they sent all three? And then Ashley's like, yeah. And Rose and Gwyneth are like, no. And it's like, uh-oh, we can't tell Ashley she can't be in the movie.
Right. Like a little bit of, yeah, I mean, the parallel of the movie of like, you need to go meet these people in person.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And ask them if they want to be involved. There might have been like a similar, yeah, discussion of, we need to go meet with these actresses in, yeah, person.
One thing
I can see them.
Yeah.
I can see them maybe approaching. Now I'm like two minds about it. Yeah. I was going to say, I can see them approaching Rose McGowan, but not Gwyneth Paltrow. But I think actually you can make the argument of the opposite.
Yeah.
Because Rose McGowan is like so, she's a little bit of a, you never quite know. She has become like very vocal and very aggressive at times in her communications on social media, and you know, when it comes to this
movie,
like, reason. Yeah, I don't imagine that she would necessarily be all that.
I think
thrilled. You have information on that?
Oh, I think she called, like, I think she's like, she recently called, I think in 2021, like the Democratic, like a deep cult. She's like, I think she's, there's some like anti-trans stuff.
Controversial,
with,
yeah,
McGowan.
Controversial, I think, is a safe word to use for her.
Yeah. So yeah. Makes sense that maybe she was not, not in.
I did like the idea that they were sitting at Gwyneth's house. Like they go there and they're like, Gwyneth will be right out. And then they're like by the pool. And I was like, oh my God, is there gonna, like, before we ever, like, hours arguably before we ever saw like the fake Harvey Weinstein, I'm like, oh my God, are we gonna have a fake Gwyneth? But we
least favorite part of the movie car. least, and then they're like, oh my God, the conversation went so well. You're like, oh my God. Okay.
I'm like, come on. You could have just cut to this. You didn't need the, but I get it. There, it's a kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. But I, that was kind of like, I chuckled a little bit. I was like, that's funny.
Okay. Yeah. Like, no, not even a fake Gwyneth. Come on.
You can get a wig and a skinny person.
Yeah. Come on.
Like, oh my gosh, she looks just like Goop.
Do you know who they got? They could have got to play fake Gwyneth.
They could have got Scarlett
Johansson to play fake Gwyneth Paltrow.
Me, Gwyneth Paltrow.
What if Scarlett played all the voices on the phone?
Oh my God.
No, she didn't.
She was like, it's me, Gwyneth, and I am consciously uncoupling from this scandal.
I feel like a really big moment in like the last since 2016 for people who do a Donald Trump impression. So it's big. Like everybody does an impression. Like every late night show, somebody does an impression. Mm-hmm. There's all these like impersonators that come up. What'd you think of fake Donald Trump? And it's played by James Austin Johnson, who he's currently on SNL, I think, is who they got. And he plays both Biden and Trump, I think, on SNL. What'd you think of fake Trump at the beginning being like, you lose it. I can't do one.
I actually felt like of all of the, oh God, far be for me to pay this man a compliment, but like even like in this weird like sideways way, but like I actually thought that that was one of the better impressions.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree.
Other ones, it was kind of like, all right, I guess it's Ross McGowan. And, you know, unfortunately, I think there is the idea of like we know that voice a little bit better, so there's like you have more to grade it against, but I didn't mind this one. I actually, you know, the I don't know, like I guess to my point about familiarity, like I take pleasure in the fact that I don't know how Harvey Weinstein's voice really sounds, and so when they have the sounds like, I'm kind of like, I guess. I have no point of reference. So it kind of like takes me out a little bit. But the Trump one, I was shocked. I was like, oh, that's pretty good.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I do think the Gwyneth phone call when he's like, he's here at my house, like I'm hiding upstairs. That was like a pretty powerful, like, it's from the book.
It was harrowing. Yeah.
It's from the book directly. This like Gwyneth Paltrow story, which is like frightening. The way he's just like sort of like showing up places, and he's like, he does some stuff to like just totally indicate that he's definitely watching. I think is like, yeah, so creepy. So wild. Yeah.
The way in which the movie does, I think, like an ultimately very realistic version of like these people were followed, like to your point, the reporters, I mean, to your point about like Harvey Weinstein making it known and popping up places. Like you see like a car chase, kind of, you know, we've seen it a million times in shows and in movies like this, like thrillers, where the reporter is like maybe being followed by this very slow car on the street.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the idea that you never really know. Like, and I don't know the whole story as far as these reporters specifically, but in general, because I was thinking about it after the movie, I would imagine in most cases, all you have is your paranoia.
Right.
And you probably never get actual confirmation that you are being followed, that you are being listened in on.
Right.
It's just kind of like, it's something that happened, and now you're like guessing, you're second guessing yourself and wondering kind of maybe for the rest of your life, like, did that actually happen? Was that actually a thing? It's,
yeah,
that stood out to me for sure.
Yeah. That's terrifying. Yeah. You never know. You never get an answer. Again, I thought the strongest part was like the women. What do you think of the, like all of the New York Times, you know, the stuff where they're like in the room? Is that like,
it was definitely there. They definitely filmed it. At least the exteriors were right, and it genuinely seemed like, unless they rebuilt some of those sets, I've seen in like documentaries and stuff, the interior, and it does look like that. So I really thought, like, yeah, of course, and it kind of makes sense, right? It's about the reporters. It's based on the book they wrote, that they would like have some sort of access to that space, if only like at very, very specific times of the day. But I love, like you said this earlier, but I love this kind of stuff with reporters, like, write it, is it ready, let's read it again. I'm like, oh, this is amazing, like I'm riveted, I don't even care.
I did think, I thought for, you know, this journal, that there's not so much of like, that they actually have to like, because part of it is like, yeah, you do the work, there's like, oh, you actually have to go and write the thing, right? You have to like actually go and write the full article. And the fact that like things are if I was at my job and there was this much stuff that was like changing, I'd be so annoyed about having to rewrite everything. And yet in like this movie, it's like, okay, we got like, they're on the record. Cool. Like, oh, the statement came in. Okay. I'll read the whole thing. And then I'll like, it's like, it actually is like a ton of work. I did like the scene where they read it one last time. I don't know. It's kind of like the fact that like Andre Brower's character is like, okay, we're good. And the other editor is like, wait, hold on. One. And then it's like,
what's that? Yeah.
It's like 5 second pause. He's like, okay, we're good. And
I'm like, okay, here's why I love it, because I'm the kind of person that like agonizes over sending an email.
Yes.
And I'm like, is it ready? Like, I have my own pretend team in my head of like, each piece of my brain is looking for a different thing, punctuation, whatever, and like a very, very short form email. And the idea of like, I was like, yeah, I get this part. Oh no. And they have to press like 3 or 4 different buttons in order to publish it. I thought it was like, well, that's smart, because you don't want to accidentally hit the wrong button.
Yeah.
It's hard to accidentally hit 4 buttons in rapid succession.
It's like ready for online and ready for
ready to publish.
Yeah.
Send. Like, I was surprised they didn't have to like turn 2 keys at the same time, like some kind of like nuclear situation. I actually really enjoy that, just because like I'm a sucker for dumb process in a movie. In real life, annoying. But in the movies, I'm like, riveted. This is so suspenseful. Send? Oh no, what if it's wrong? What if the typo is, what if the period's in the wrong place?
Yeah. The other piece of this, I just thought Carrie Mulligan as Megan Toohey she has the best fit. I just want that as like very like business I don't even know, modern businesswoman. I just want her whole outfit. She just looked amazing. This whole movie.
Incredible. Her hair. Carey Mulligan is like one of my favorite actresses, like period. And yes. And like I'm already half in when it's her. I think in the grand scheme of her acting, this one was, she's always good. She's always powerful, certainly in parts in this movie. She speaks very honestly, like you said, about like her postpartum depression, and she gets very emotional about all of that. But it's not like, I won't like look back on this role. Besides your point that I totally agree with, of like, she looks incredible. Like,
yeah, I know.
Even just the way she walks, I'm like, this is great.
Power walking, like all the combos that they're having that have to be like
the walk and talk. I was like, oh my God, is Sorkin involved?
And she's very good. I think her best stuff is there's a couple scenes where she's kind of like the, she talks to the lawyer, and she, when Weinstein comes to meet, like they go talk with her, like she's the one who like plays like defense kind of. I thought she was really good. And I think it's both the meetings with the lawyer, the guy from Succession. I thought she was really good in those, just being like, yeah, but like how many like settlements? Like, that seems like a lot, you know? Like, I thought she was just like really, really good. And that when she's getting like yelled at by Weinstein, it's like zooming in on her face through the window. I thought she was really good. I feel like, yeah, she kind of plays like, she's the lead, but also kind of like second in command to like Jodie Kantor. Yeah, so
she comes into the story kind of second, but she seems to be obviously like the more seasoned reporter. And she's great. Yeah. She's great at playing like a badass, right? Like, to be clear, like, she's so good.
Yeah.
But anyway. I mean, Jodie Kantor, another person that I want to call out, Zach Grenier. Who plays the
guy who meets the
finance person, the guy that like Jodie Kantor,
they meet for dinner, right?
Character. Yeah, they meet like several times first a few times, and then he's not sure he wants to help, and then eventually he like gives her the his phone to kind of like take pictures of his documents, like the payouts. Like, it's like, this is real factual information. What they need is like facts and figures that can corroborate these stories of payouts. And he finally like budges, but he's just such an incredible actor who I love from The Good Wife. And I remember those scenes. I mean, it does help that they're lit very ominously, and like we're meeting in the dark and he keeps looking over his shoulder, like, is there someone here? I just love that actor and that stuff. Like, the thing I loved about this movie is the thing that's cool about watching old series sometimes, like a Friends or like a Soprano, whatever it is, of just like, this was really big at the time, but it features people who were not famous then, perhaps, but are famous now. And it's just like, oh my God, it's so-and-so. I felt a little bit like that here, of like, oh my God, it's this guy. I really like this. And it adds a little bit of
that. Like early 2000s, like comedies, NBC comedies are just filled with, you're like, oh, that guy became super famous.
He became super famous. And in here, the comp isn't one-to-one because some of these people are famous. But if they're not famous, they're famous to me for some of their other roles.
Right.
But most importantly, it like telegraphed this person. Like, when I saw Samantha Morton show up, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a crazy scene because she's an incredible actress. So I know that she is important in some way. They wouldn't just cast her for like a throwaway role. She's going to have meaty monologues. And she did. So
that monologue is so good. It's so good. The scene where she's just like divulging all this. She's like, I know it was wrong. I thought I could fix it, and I got stuck into this like stupid agreement that's like terrible. And I'd ask permission if I wanted to see a therapist. Like, it's so bogus. It's brutal.
That's crazy. And like the fear that they were living in, and even some of the actresses who were quote unquote no names, and I don't mean that like necessarily pejoratively, but I just mean like as far as known to me. Like, I think of the one survivor that they went to speak to in Queens, and they weren't even expecting her to be there. They were actually visiting her mother.
But
she opens the door,
right?
And just the emotion that she is able to convey, and that I like receive from her when they're like, oh, this thing happened. It might have happened around the time that you were working for Harvey Weinstein. And she's like, I've been waiting like 20 years for this to happen. Like, the idea of like, why hasn't someone come to me sooner? And then even then, she's still saying, I don't know that I can help you, even though I have been waiting for this for like 20, 25 years. it's, I thought that stuff was all super effective.
Well, and when she like agrees and then has to call Megan and be like, I'm really sorry, but no, I can't do anything. You know, it's like, oh, because they're like, there's ways around the NDAs. And she's like, no, I can't do it. Like, the corner that they're trapped in, you know, is like awful. Yeah.
And there was a person I remember, I don't think it was her because I was earlier in the movie, but at some point somebody says, I can't, but I wish you luck genuinely. Like, I really want this to work. I really want you to write a good story that makes a difference. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can be involved. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. Yeah. It sucks that it's a true story.
That's the worst part.
Yeah.
It's more palatable if it's not, I guess, right?
But again, I mean, like, this movie made $3 million or whatever at the box office, like, lost a bunch of money, but it has like 80%, 87% for both critic and audience score. So hopefully, I do think that, like, does it feel too soon for a movie like this? I think there's definitely people who are like, yep. And at the same time, if it makes like anybody realize, like, it sucks to think that anybody might not realize like just how bad it is for these women who are in these industries where it's so incredibly hard to speak out, that's what happened. And, you know, part of the movie, I feel like, to a degree, for the movie being like, it's about the system, I do feel like, I don't know that the, like, they have the thing at the end about that Harvey goes to jail. I don't know if they comment on anything else, but like, putting one man away doesn't change the system, you know?
Right.
And so I do feel like, there's so much more that needs to be done there. And so the movie kind of being like, hey, look, all these women came out and then Harvey Weinstein went to jail. That's good. That's very much a good thing. It's just not the only thing that will like fix, an incredibly like toxic, corrupt, patriarchal,
right,
abusive system.
Society. Yeah. And to that point, I really liked that the movie says, so like, you know, they send, if I'm remembering correctly, they publish the article finally, and then they press the button and then the movie ends, right? Because it's like, okay,
everything that's it.
This really was the story of how the article was written and how all the research came together, right?
Right.
And here, but what they say is like, in the, you know, they reference the Me Too movement and everything that came after, and all the women who from all over the world who share their stories, and they say the amount of women who spoke out,
right,
is unknowable. Like, the number is actually impossible to quantify. And that's a very powerful thing to hear and to read, especially after having watched that movie. So I think, you know, again, the movie doing a good job of like somewhat amplifying the message, the important message, the important piece of this, which is the women that it happened to, and like how pervasive the problem is.
I hope people go see it, because I think there is a little bit of, you know, in, you know, as Twitter becomes an abomination again, as Elon Musk slowly unblocks everybody who shouldn't be unblocked. I do feel like there is like this like public, you know, from like a certain sect of the world that's like a little bit like, the Me Too movement was overblown. And it's like, I don't know that you can watch this movie and be like, the Me Too movement is overblown, you know? And so, you know, this won't change the mind of the people who I think really are in that, but to think that, like, I think there are people who could watch this movie and think like, yeah, but it's just like the worst people, right? It's just like your Harvey Weinsteins, your Bill Cosbys, and when we get rid of them, then we'll be fine. But like, to actually see that it's the whole system, I think, and that the system still allows somebody like Harvey Weinstein to continue to do that, I think, is like what needs to be changed. And so, you know, there's a world in which like the Me Too movement has like been less of a thing, I think, in the last, as like, you know, people are like, oh, you're just crying about cancel culture or whatever. And it's like, well, no, not really.
No. So, yeah. People painting with broad brushes and trying to generalize. And these things are anything but simple.
Yeah. All right. I think that's our She Said coverage. All right, big week for movies. It's like it's too many movies coming out.
It's too many movies. We're supposed to be thankful, right? Because American Thanksgiving
is
about to be upon us. But it's hard to be thankful when you're trying to like figure out how you're going to watch all the movies. I'm selfishly stressing.
And I'm getting all my dates mixed up. Yeah, it's like this week, The Fabelmans, Glass Onion, and Bones and All will release in theaters. Uh-huh. It's a lot of movies. And The Sun, I think, drops on Friday as well. And Strange World. There's a lot of movies that are out theater. So apologies that we can't get to everything that we would
too
like.
Many? Too many movies?
Maybe. Maybe.
Say that, not me.
Maybe. yeah, I watched The Wonder on Netflix. I really like that. If you haven't checked that out, it's
yeah, it was in the theater and I tried to go and then I missed it and now I'm like all bitter about it. Like, oh, I didn't get to see it in the did you like it?
Yeah, I really liked it. Yeah, it's a good little like character.
That's with our friend of the pod, Florence Pugh, right?
Florence Pugh. Yeah. Oh yeah, she was proved right, I think, this week with Harry and Olivia. I guess we've already talked about that. Mm-hmm. The other big movie news this week, I don't know if you see it, but Indiana Jones is like, you want to see pictures of Indiana Jones? And everyone's like, yeah. Yeah, I do want to see pictures of Indiana Jones. Today they released a Phoebe Waller-Bridge picture. Like, look, she's in the movie. And you're like, it's like not a trailer. It's just a picture. Just a picture. You're like, okay,
but it was trending. People love it. People now I want to see the Florence excited. Pugh picture.
Yeah, sorry.
Release the Pugh cut or release the Pugh pic.
Pugh Pugh. She should be in a movie called Pugh Pugh, probably. Yeah. Uh-huh. Right?
Pugh, yeah. But it's Pugh. Yeah, it's just right. Pugh Pugh. And it's her face, like with her fist under her chin, just like, it's my story.
Yeah. So we're going to try and cover as much of this as we can. Certainly the Fabelmans, Glass Onion will be for sure covering probably over the next week. So yeah, we're excited about that. If you have thoughts about the movies, let us know. Chat in the Discord, you can become a patron. And again, make sure you subscribe, pushrecaps.com/movies. Ariel, what else you got going on?
Movies about cows. What else do I have going on? I am covering the Netflix Moody show 1899 with you and our other co-host DM Philly. It's been really fun to start to go down that rabbit hole. And also covering the White Lotus with Dr. Amanda. And we are over the mid season hump on that one. So I'm starting to get a little sad.
Yeah, that this week's episode really stressed me out. So I liked it, but I didn't like it, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh. You didn't like how it left you feeling. I respect that.
In addition to 1899, I'm also covering The Crown with Shannon Guess. We're trekking along. We recently had Mike Bloom on to come talk about episode 3, Moo Moo. So that was very fun. And yeah, roll call over on Rob is a Podcast on the Twitch and YouTube channels. Depending on when you're listening. Yeah, if you're listening to this the day it drops, look out for the Rob is a Podcast Twitch and YouTube channels for a special surprise the evening of November 22nd. And maybe also something else happening on the evening of November 29th. Just keep it at that. Little sneak peek. Yeah, head over there. I'm on Twitter as long as it exists at High From Grace. We'll be back in a few days' time with our The Fabelmans coverage. We also, if you are a patron, we did ask our patrons to vote for the top 10 Spielberg characters, Ariel. Mm-hmm.
Characters movies. Within a Spielberg movie.
Yeah, so like E.T. or Indiana Jones. He's going to get a big bump this week. That's not fair. Do you think that's Florence why they got the
Pugh.
Pictures?
I'm going to vote for Florence Pugh because she's clearly in the fifth movie.
Yeah, has she been in any Spielberg movie? I don't know. But anyway, yeah, so best Spielberg character. It could be the shark from Jaws. It could be E.T. It could be whatever you want. So, yeah, we shall see. We'll count them down at the end of our Fabelmans pod. Until then, I'm Grace. That's Ariel. And this has been Kosher Recaps. Dieter. Bye-bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.